bad. And not bushy-tailed, but alive and well. after our outside broadcast yesterday in Port Leash, had a great time down there. Thanks to everybody who looked after us so well and really had a great time. Wait, I think we finished our outside broadcast about 2 o'clock this morning. There's a continuation. Yeah, we're talking about it afterwards. And talking to a lot of people during the week with sessions in actual fact that's going on throughout the country on account of the radio station being closing down and a few gigs and events that are happening. We're saying we might bring in a new feature on the programme whereby it'd be a session like Monaghan 1, Longford 1, Roscommon or West of Ireland, whatever the case might be. Ballyhaunus 1 last week, yes. was at that one. What was I going to say? The radio set up, as far as the legalising of radio on the 31st, definitely all arrows point to a definite close down. There's quite a few people who have lobbied their TDs, etc., to ask the Minister for an extension of broadcasting, and this is I'm getting this feedback from different parts of the country. And their local TDs in due course did ask the Minister, what about this? What about leaving the pirates on for another while until we get this legalised set up? What about legalising the pirates? What about this? What about that? What about that? And the answer to the whole lot is, close down is the 31st and that's it. No deviation off that. The musicians, band musicians, which would be consist of the like of John Hogan and not Joe Dolan, all those people who play Irish music, they're in an association. They had a meeting last Wednesday among themselves in Barry's Hotel in Dublin, and all representatives of the music industry, record industry, promotions, hotels who have promotions and everything. In other words, everybody that's affected by the close down of the independent radio stations, bands will be affected naturally very much so, since there's nobody there to play the records. Taking, for example, the country and western side of things, bands would say that live, a lot of them are from up around the border areas, and those stations definitely cater 100% by playing the records, as we do ourselves and everything else. And it's with our airplays that, in actual fact, these bands are surviving, living, getting gigs, and people are recognise them when they see them on stage from hearing them on the radio stations being played day in, day out. And without the radio stations, Irish bands in general, not all pop bands or not all country, but generally speaking, there would be in serious difficulties, and there will be in serious difficulties after Christmas if there's nothing there to take up where the pirates have left off. So they've arranged to meet the Minister next Wednesday in Dublin, so I'm sure by Thursday we'll have a bit of feedback through newspapers or through the grapevines what exactly went on and what the Minister is going to say to these people that when they put it to him, who's going to play our records after the 31st. So it'll be interesting to see what the Minister has to say there. Also during the week, very, very, very important, I was reading in the Evening Herald the other evening that in actual fact we talked earlier on that the TV people were going to get a reprieve. In other words, they weren't going to be affected. This is the rebroadcasters of TV channels, BBC, etc., that they were going to get a reprieve and they weren't going to be hit for about 9-10 months. But in actual fact, the Minister has stated on numerous occasions, as it states in the paper during the week, that everybody is going to be hit. And that includes people like vets and that who have got two-way radios or whatever the case may be, who have got them sort of the local guy who fits them for them, and they've not got a license to do it. I'm not saying all vets or anything, but I'm talking about people who have two-way radios, whether it be lorry drivers, sand pits, people like that. All vets around the country have two-way radios, right? I'm not saying they're all illegal, I'm not saying they're legal or whatever the case may be, but I'm just saying if, for example, that a guy did not go through the Department of Communications and got in his two-way radio, whatever the case may be, he is illegal as of from the 31st if he's not got a license. The same way as all radio stations, we know we don't have license to broadcast, we're illegal as well. Well, we're illegal at the moment, but we're going to be put away if we keep broadcasting illegal, yeah, after the 31st, right?
There are going to be a lot of people without television on there when those people stop relaying them, because there are a lot of those people relaying the British channels now.
It's dead serious, because, for example, down in Port Leash yesterday, we're broadcasting from Centre Point in Port Leash as an outside broadcast. And the TV shop there had all the channels perfect, all the BBCs, etc. They were crystal clear. And added to that, here was four or five satellite channels as well. Sky was on there. I'd seen Hot House Flowers and in quality beyond belief. A fantastic reception. And like all around the Port Leash area, there is a rebeam set up, obviously, on it's on Sleeve Bloom, and it's just walloping it into Portlaoise, and everybody has pictures and everything else. Now, this Christmas they have everything, but next Christmas they mightn't have, or after Christmas, definitely, they're not going to have it. However, the government have made ways that, in other words, they are going to legalise rebeaming, but you have to rebeam it on microwave, and then you have to get an adapter to fit the back of your television. So, in other
and
words,
they said that could take 3 to 5 years before.
Well, the thing about it is, for any operator at the moment to set up this setup, which means he couldn't cover a whole county because the cost would be prohibitive. But even to cover the like of, say, Portlaoise, a small town in the Midlands, wherever the case might be, it would take him approximately about £100,000 worth of equipment. Now, to retrieve that, it also cost the customer about £100 for this gadget, which would be fitted at the back of the TV, which would convert it from microwave to UHF, right? In order to see the bit. Now, the pictures would be perfect. So the customer now has to pay your man £100 for the unit, which your man has no profit on whatsoever. That's the cost of it. And I'm sure there'll be much, much higher rental fees of the channels per year. They're paying, I think, about £15-20 at the moment, and I can see that being shoved way over 100. And they've another £100 to pay for their TV licence, right? And your man, in the meantime, to push the signal out to them, has to spend in the region of £100,000. And he's looking at a 10-year payback situation on that, because it's not everybody that can afford this new system, by the way the government are doing it. Now, seemingly, the government cannot legalise the way they're doing it at the moment. They cannot legalise that, for some reason or other. I'm not into the technical end of things, right, on that one. But they can't legalise it. Yeah, right.
There was even talk that the BBC and the British channels wanted paying for it as well, wasn't there?
Because that's ongoing. Like the matter that basically RTE, who owned RTE relays in Dublin, are pirating BBC, etc., and they're running it through the cables, and they're giving the BBC absolutely nothing for it. Why? And on the other hand, they are charging people for watching BBC. So in other words, RTE are making money from it, and the poor old BBC making other programmes, and they're making nothing. However, I'm sure it could work in reverse, that the BBC could put in RTE and there could be a concert deal done on something like that if they wanted it. And in actual fact, there's a lot of parts of Northern Ireland who receive RTE 1 and 2 perfect, especially around the border towns. Once you go inside the border, well, you get RTE 1 and 2 television, no problem whatsoever. So, like, the point can be argued, well, they're watching RTE 1 and 2, what about this? Yeah. Hello, how are you? Tony McGraw. As I say. Right, next week our outside broadcast is from Tullamore, so that'll I think one of our last outside broadcasts, so we'll be looking forward to that. And don't forget, on Tuesday night, if for all anoraks in around, especially in around the Galway area, we have our country jamboree in the Greenbrier in Galway. We'll be definitely looking forward to that. And I think it's the following Saturday, the following week, we have our Radio West Ball,
the 17th.
And that's going to be a night to remember. Yeah. Plenty of everything that night.
Mm. The last one of each. The last jamboree on Tuesday, and that'll be the last.
That's about it. So, in actual fact, we're winding down slow but surely, and it's we have a post. What have we left now? 4 weeks less.
Yeah, I don't count, but
we've got about 4 weeks broadcasting left. We're saying hello to John in Dundalk this morning. He rang me earlier on. Not very much to report, he said. There's a little bit of mixing going on between Rainbow and 98.5 and, of course, Class in Dublin. And he'd love if Class, he said, or Rainbow, could move very, very slightly to allow him to do some recording of classes to close down and Rainbow, etc. So, anyway, we're saying it for what it's worth, John. I doubt if anybody would be prepared to move at this late stage since the move occurred last week, because BBC switched on their FMs in the north of Ireland, anybody that was operating in around the 96.1 area had to move because we're being blasted out of it. He also tells us that Telstar on 1179, I think it is, that their frequency is seemingly much stronger in around the Dundalk area. They've only got a kilowatt of FM or medium wave, so obviously maybe just put on some new valves or done some modifications in the area, or maybe it's the time of year, maybe it's the weather that's having an effect on it. However, he said it's much stronger, and obviously he's a great fan of Telstar Radio because he's always has little bits of news about their FM up and down in power, etc. So there you go. We also say good morning and that to Ray McSharry, listening to us in the north as he does every Sunday, and hope he's getting us this morning without too much squeaks and bother. We also say hello to Miles Johnson, actually, who was on to me earlier on this morning. He tells us that 1170 is back on the air. That's KISS FM. He's short of a vacuum capacitor, which hopefully we'll be able to supply him sometime today. He's coming down to say hello to us. And that should put KISS back on full power. We also hear that the high winds yesterday knocked down RCR. I think it's the Roscommon radio station, RR. Yeah?
The new one, yeah.
The new one that's down there. Their air mast is on the ground due to high winds yesterday, and there was high winds yesterday, very, very strong winds around the country. So they're off the air at the moment. We hope to see them back in the air real soon. What else have we got to offer? Nothing really from the Galway area. Everything seems to be lying and quiet, and everybody seems to be doing their own thing. Nothing new coming from around the country, except that County Sound in Kildare. Obviously, they're putting out quite a good signal. Basically, it's a pop station. And they seem to have great ads altogether. Where they got them, I don't know. Anyway, like Maxwell House and those, that you don't even get them. But anyway, they're playing the ads. So we say the best of luck to those lads there as well. Nothing else to report as far as the licensing thing is concerned, except that this is the feedback that's coming from the general public who have contacted their TDs, and that the close down date is the 31st. Anything else? Did you get any phone calls this morning?
No, we had nothing in this morning at all.
Nothing in
this
morning.
Very quiet.
And actually, the post is very, very quiet this area. And talking to the Eye in the Sky and the Fog, who's another great source of information. Very, very little to report. Everything is very, very steady. By the way, we've an important announcement to make this morning. Talking to Jerry Riley actually during the week, and Jerry Riley is coming in on the program next Sunday. And it's a programme definitely not to be missed by all anoraks out there. So if there's any anoraks listening to us this morning, tell your friends. Next Sunday will be the programme of programmes with Jerry Riley. And we'll be starting actually quite early, 10:30, 10:45 thereabouts, right? There's my first sniffle today, and I got slagged over the sniffling. Was I rotten inside or what was going on? I had to do that deliberately. That you're sniffling every Sunday. Even get slagging on that in Galway. However, we've got our Optimod back on the medium wave, which I'm sure a lot of people have noticed this morning, especially with the splatter either side. It's not set 100%, but we're getting there slow but surely. It's a very temperamental thing to set. No matter going out and twist the knobs, you have to do it, go away, listen to it, and go back and do a small adjustment. And probably at close down date, we'll have it perfect. Right, we'll take a record. Have we time to take a record?
We have time to take a break, because we've got to make room for Landlink now.
Oh, yeah, minutes. Well, it's time for me to be getting me tail end out of here, basically. Isn't that about the height of it? Right, Jerry Riley is on the programme next Sunday. We'll be talking about transmitters. We'll be talking about radio stations that he set up. And after all, Jerry Riley and his brother Charlie set up, what, about 80 radio stations to build the transmitters, to install the aerials and everything else. We hope maybe to get Miles Johnson down as well some Sunday. And Tony Mulligan from Dublin, I was talking to him, engineer Tony Mulligan, who works with TRRR in Dublin, also promised to lend support to the programme, that he'd come down and say hello to us sometime. Along with lots of other people I was talking to would like to come on the Anoraks programme, etc, etc, etc. Just mentioned TRRR there. The boss man there, Mr. Jimmy Smith, resigned as chairman of the CIBO, which is the Association of Community Broadcasters in Ireland. He resigned as chairman there last week. So who's the new chairman of it? I'm not too sure. There's not a lot of communication going around what's happening there. I think possibly maybe Eamon Fitzpatrick has taken the lead role there, who is Ironside Radio in Cavan. Yes, go ahead, right.
Did he give any reason for resigning?
In actual fact, it ran to the end. The reason why I think the man resigned was that he just disagreed with some of the motions that was being put forward, and he said, well, I'm not in favour of those, while the vote was going against him, and he said, well, okay, he said, I resign. And that was it. Talking to Eamon Fitzpatrick actually there a couple of weeks ago down in Ballyhonus, and he was saying like his main interest, well, not his main interest, but half of his interest definitely, and when he declared his hand, was in, he said, I promote 4 or 5 different bands, and he said, like, without the airplays and the radio, he said, that business is going to be banjacks. And I said, well, I'm just in the radio business, and that's all I'm concerned about at the moment, is how I can come out of the radio business. Especially, here's another very, very important thing, that like at Christmas, all the people working in radio, they are going to be out of jobs. I think the government has got to act fairly fast, so we asked them this morning to get their finger out, get the thing organised, and hopefully switch on very early in the new year, so the people at least can be re-employed, and can get going. Okay, Kevin, I'm gone. See you all next Sunday with Jerry Riley.
We'll see you next week for a special Anorak show. It's now 29 minutes past 11, and Landlink is next. But I'm gonna make